Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How are you today? This is Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad that you tuned in to Wednesday's Word of Encouragement, which is entitled, The Lord Says, I Have Prayed for You. Do you know that the Lord is praying for you? Of course he is. You have an intercessor of intercessors in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, the very Jesus who died on the cross for you, the very Jesus who bled out for you on the cross, that Jesus is also your great high priest and your intercessor. The Bible says that he ever liveth intercession for us, his people. In particular, he is making intercession for his ministers. And that is the basis of today's discussion. I have prayed for you. And we want to turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke. So open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke. Chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31, 32, and 33. Let's read. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter said unto the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny thou that you know me. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks once again for reaching out to us, Lord. Perhaps we're backslidden. Perhaps we have given up on our assignment. Perhaps we want nothing to do with ministry. Perhaps. And we can write a long list of perhaps. But Lord, two things are certain. One is that Satan is after us, and secondly, you have prayed for us. So Lord, minister to us through this text. Speak to us. Revive our faith. Jumpstart our dead ministries. Give us another chance, another opportunity to fulfill our assignments. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You know, I do these broadcasts on a daily basis, and I so look forward to ministering to you. And the numbers, the listenership, is not that high. It's really not. We spend a great deal of time in preparation, in prayer, in study. We spend a great deal of money to get these broadcasts done. And when we look at the numbers, there are those, my advisors, who would say, let's discontinue. But, you see, that's why the Lord spoke to me and not to them. Because this is my assignment from the Lord. If I can get one Peter turned around for Jesus, my assignment would be fulfilled. It's about turning the church around one saint at a time. And the numbers are not what we would want them to be. Of course, we want more listeners, because a great deal of work is going into preparing these broadcasts. But we're going to leave the results up to the Lord. We're going to leave that to the Lord. In the time being, I'm going to keep bringing you the word. And if you recall, on Monday, we were talking about Peter's dual nature, how he had a patronic name, Simon, the name given to him by his father, Jonas. And then he had his ministerial name, Cephas in Aramaic, Peter in Greek. And, of course, his name Simon was given to him by his father, and his name Cephas, or Peter, was given to him by his master, his mentor, his leader, his teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we discovered how all of us in ministry, all of us who make up the army of the Lord, we have a lot of Peter in us. Sometimes we're up, Sometimes we're a Peter, and sometimes we're down, we're a Simon. Sometimes we are a source of great encouragement as Peter, and then a great many times we are a source of tremendous disappointment when we act like Simon. Simon represents our Adamic nature. The Peter in us represents that work of Christ in us. And so we have a yo-yo existence as ministers. Until we let the Simon part of us take over, or rather we let the Peter part of us take over the Simon part. And when we become more Peter and less Simon, then the Lord begins to get a return on his investment. And you have to admit, and I would have to admit, that the Lord has made tremendous investments in us, and a great many of us have not paid dividends yet. The Lord has spent much time with us. Many years have we been in the Lord, and yet we're floundering. And that's because Simon is at the wheel. And Peter is in the back seat. It's only when Peter takes over that we will be productive. And we will go where Christ would want us to go, and we would be all that Christ would want us to be. And so it's not that we're ever going to get rid of Simon. No. No. You are who you are. You are somebody before you came to Christ, and you're somebody after you came to Christ. And those two, before and after, really make you. That's your history. Before Christ cannot be erased, your sins can be erased, but not your odyssey, not your personal journey. That will always be you. That will always be your testimony, where the Lord pulled you out of, where he found you. That will always be you. But you can't live in your past. You cannot live in your sinful nature. That celestial part of you must govern the earthly part. And so today we come to the point where now, in Luke chapter 22, the Lord is celebrating, the Lord Jesus is celebrating what we call the Last Supper. 3 years of training have passed. 3 years of training have passed. 3 years have passed since Jesus first met Simon and said, "Your name is Simon, the son of Jonas, but I'm going to call you Cephas." See, 3 years have passed since Jesus prophesied over Simon and said, "Right now you are a flake, but after I get through with you, you're going to be a solid, dependable individual." 3 years have passed. 3 years have passed. And now Jesus is ending his ministry. He's about to go to the cross. And he says to Simon at the Last Supper, which if you start reading at verse 7 all the way through, this is the Last Supper, to beginning at verse 7 all the way through the chapter, records the Last Supper. Now, at verse 31, Jesus interrupts the meal. He leans over and says to Simon, "Simon, Simon." Now, he doesn't say Simon Peter. And that was his name. His name was Simon Peter. But he doesn't say Simon Peter. He says Simon, Simon. Now, what is Jesus meaning to convey when he says Simon, Simon, instead of Simon Peter? Well, what he's saying is that the Simon part of him has overtaken the Peter part, that there's no trace of Peter. Simon has become so confused. Simon Peter has become so confused. And in essence, what Jesus is saying by calling him Simon, Simon, he's saying, you know, you've been with me for 3 years. And when you started out, you were just simply Simon. Now you're worse off. 3 years later, you're worse off. 3 years later, you're worse off. He says, Simon, Simon. Simon. You know, how can it be that you can send a child to college, spend great sums of money in tuition, in room and board, a great deal of money in textbooks to educate this child, and when this child graduates, it's like they never went to college. Think about the investment that you as a parent have made to send, to put a child through college, all expenses paid. And then after 4 years, that child comes out of school and doesn't want to work, can't hold a job, can't carry themselves. And this is how Jesus must have felt after looking at Simon at the Lord's Supper, looking at Simon and saying, you know, Simon, 3 years of training, 3 years of mentorship, 3 years of me giving you my best, and you started out as Simon, but now you're just not Simon, but you're Simon, Simon. You're Simon to the second power. And he says, Simon, and he looks at his chief disciple. This is his chief disciple. He leans over and looks at him and says, Simon, Simon, let me let you in on a little secret. Behold, the Greek word edon, open your eyes, Simon. Open your eyes. Listen to what I'm about to say. Edon. Edon, look. Look. Satan has shown up tonight. He's shown up. Now, when you see the great paintings produced by the masters of art of Jesus at the Last Supper, there's no painting with Jesus and the disciples and Satan in the picture. You always find Jesus and the disciples. There's no picture of Satan, but if it was to be properly painted, Jesus said, Peter, Satan showed up tonight. He and I talked. And Satan has desired to have you. He submitted an application in Greek, atheo, A-I-T-E-O, atheo. Satan has desired, or he has requested that he may have you. Now, if it was you or I, and we had made such a tremendous investment in a student, I'm a ministerial educator. That's all I did for a living. I trained future ministers. This is what I did. The 3 years, if I would have had a student that was worse off than when they first walked into my class, and somebody said, can we take this person off yet? Go ahead, take him. He's been 3 years with me, and he's worse off than when he first came in. Take him. Hasn't learned a lick. Take him. Doesn't remember anything I taught him. Take him. Now, that's me. That's human nature. That's you. That's human nature. So Satan comes, and he submits an application and says to Jesus, out of all of these, this is the one I want. I want Simon. And Jesus says, you know, Peter, you've been a great disappointment. One time before in Matthew 16, Peter, remember when I told you that I had to go to the cross and you told me no, that I was not to go to the cross? Did not I turn around and tell you, Peter, back then Get thee behind me, Satan. And now, instead of looking like my pupil, instead of acting and talking like my disciple, you look more like Satan's disciple. And he has requested that he may have you, Peter. He wants you. He wants to do me a favor, Peter. He wants to take you off of my hands. And with all the trouble I have brewing, with all that I have to face in these next couple of days, my arrest and my beating and my crucifixion and my death, you know what? It seems like Satan wants to do me a favor, because with all this pressure I have, I really don't need you hanging around. That's how you and I would think, my brothers and sisters. That's how you and I would think. But thank God that the Savior doesn't think the way we think. Look what Jesus said. He said, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you. To have you. To do what? To take you to Disney World? To take you on vacation? No, Satan doesn't desire your benefit. Satan wants you because Satan will do what he always does. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And his entire goal is to sift you, to cut you down like a blade of wheat. Simon, are you listening, Simon? Satan came here tonight asking for you, specifically for you. And he didn't even hide his intentions. He has prayed to have you. And his whole desire is to bring about your demise. And what did Jesus say? Satan prayed, but I also prayed. Verse 32, I have prayed for thee. I've interceded. With all the things I have to worry about right now, I once again went to prayer on your behalf. On behalf of a student who at this very moment seems like he has forgotten toward him, who is as carnal as ever before, who is as backslidden as ever before. Satan has desired to have you that he may strike you down, but I have prayed. And this is what I prayed for. He says, I prayed that the deposit, the faith in you will not fail. That all those lessons I gave you, Peter, all those lessons would one day bear fruit. He says, I pray that your faith fail not, and that you would be converted. That you would be turned around, because Peter, right now, you're headed to the wrong place. Think about this. Here's Simon Peter having the first communion. And you know how every time we pastors have communion, whether it's once a month or twice a month, don't we always encourage the people? Don't we always encourage them to examine this themselves? Here is Peter. Here's a guy who didn't even examine himself, and he was taking care. He was participating in the Lord's Supper of the Lord's Supper. Here he is. Simon Peter, who didn't even examine himself when he was partaking of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus says, boy, you're so backslidden, but I prayed that the deposits, the faith, the lessons, the teachings you got from me will one day produce. And one day I pray that you would turn around. And when you turn around and get back on track, I pray that you will fulfill your assignment, which is what? Strengthen the weak ones. That's my prayer. Now, to you, my brother and sister, I say today, hasn't Christ made tremendous deposits in you? Hasn't Jesus spent quality time with you? Hasn't the Lord poured enough in you? How long have you been walking with the Lord? How long have you been in His company? How long have you been washed in His blood? How long has it been since you met Him on your personal road to Damascus? How long? And yet, you're still floundering. How long? How long? And yet, you're not bearing any fruit. Jesus said, Satan wants you, but I won't let him have you because I'm praying. I'm praying that one day soon, you would pay dividends. My brothers and sisters, Christ is praying for you every single day. When are you going to start bearing fruit? When are you going to turn around? When are you going to get back on track? When are you going to make the Lord proud? The Lord says, when, Peter? The Lord says to you, when? When? You know, and then Peter, in order to sound good, in order to sound like he's not backsliding, he says, no, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And Jesus says, all that you're saying is simply hot air. Because when the cock crows, verse 34, and he said unto Peter, I tell thee, Peter, and now he's looking to him in the future. He says, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt three times deny me. He says, even before the rooster crows in the morning, by the time it's daybreak and the rooster crows, you would have denied me already three times. You say you're going to go to prison with me. You say you're going to go the extra mile. You say that you'll even die for me. Crows. Before the cock crows, you would tell people that you don't even know who I am. But thank God for his prayers. My brother and sister, do you know why you haven't been made history? Do you know why we haven't read your obituary yet? Do you know why there's no dirt over your casket yet? Do you know why you're not in a casket? Because Jesus prayed for you when Satan came a-knocking for your soul. And Jesus has been praying ever since. And Jesus our Lord, is waiting for you to pay dividends. When are you going to start serving the Lord? When are you going to start fulfilling your Christ-given assignment? When? Are you going to begin to implement all that Jesus taught you? When are you going to start strengthening the brethren? When are you going to start helping the little lambs? When? Thank God that Jesus prayed for Peter, because 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost. This Peter who Satan asked for, this very same Peter who Satan was asking for at the Lord's Supper, is the same Peter who preached a message and 3,000 souls came to Christ via that one message. So the Lord looks to you today, my brother and sister, says, when are you going to start paying dividends? There are souls to be saved. There are new converts to be strengthened. There are young couples to be helped. There are widows and orphans that need your assistance. When? 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 The Lord says, I prayed, and Satan could not wipe you out. Now I'm praying for you to turn around and be a blessing to all those who need help in this hour. There's a great many saints in the church who are new in the Lord, who are feeble in the Lord, who know little in the Lord. Our time, for those of us who've been in the Lord a lot longer, for those of us who've had the privilege to walk with Jesus, it's time for us to turn around, to be converted, and start producing fruit. My word of encouragement today is, you may have not produced anything to this point, but Jesus says, I prayed for you. And if he prayed for you, it's because he's put something in you that the world needs. When are you going to fulfill your unique assignment? The Lord is waiting on you to come upon the stage of history and fulfill your unique assignment. Serve the Lord. Don't waste any more time. Don't allow the devil to submit more applications with your name on them. Serve the Lord with everything you've got. Serve his people with all your heart. Serve the Lord. For he has put much in you. And to whom much has been given, much is required. Well, that does it today for this word of encouragement. I want to remind you that tomorrow we have a Bible study on the primitive church. And that study is fascinating. We're having a great time looking at the book of Genesis, particularly Genesis chapter 4. And we're looking at the first church ever on the face of the earth, which was a small little church made up of Adam and Eve and their children, and how they worshiped God and how they served God. And we're learning a lot from this Thursday Bible study on in this series that we're doing. And then on Friday, I want you to come back because I have the part three to this message. I did the part one on Monday. I did the part two today, and on Friday, I have Friday's word of encouragement, and it has to do with Simon Peter also. So I want you to come back, and please remember to tell others about this broadcast, about this little radio church, that's going global, that's ministering to so many people, so many hurting people, so many people who have been thrown out of the church because they want the church to be holy, and the church doesn't want to be holy anymore. So you pray for this radio church, and you encourage others who are like-minded to tune in. And remember, the shows are archived, so if you miss any of the broadcasts, you can listen to these broadcasts at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, whenever you have the time. And remember, we have another radio broadcast that is tied into this church called Daily Manna from Heaven. Tune in and listen to that. And that, too, is a daily broadcast. And what we're doing at Daily Manna for Heaven, we're talking about all those who will not be able to enter heaven. And that's a fascinating study. Also, please remember that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church is entirely listener-supported. So we do need your love gifts to stay on the air. We are operating 4 radio broadcasts on Block Talk Radio, and for each one of those, there's a fee that we have to have every month in the bank, plus the internet expense and the a little office that we have, a little studio that we're renting. And so we have a lot of little expenses, and when you add them all up, it's one major monthly expense. And it's very cost-effective. What we're doing is very cost-effective, but we need the saints to help with love gifts. And so let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for all that you're doing by means of your scriptures, and how it's by the scriptures that we grow. It is by means of the scriptures that we develop our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Bless us, Lord. Let this message go to the 4 corners of the earth. Let this word not return back to us void. Let it accomplish all that you would have it to accomplish. Bless this radio ministry. Bless all of our efforts. In Jesus' name we pray. For we do it for Jesus and no one else. We do it for the Savior. Jesus said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." You know, he said, "Feed my sheep." So we do it because we love Jesus. And he told us to feed his sheep if we really love him. So bless us, Lord. Meet all of our needs here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. And we shall be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please don't forget to email us your prayer requests. We pray every day at noon. We get together and we seek the Lord and we seek his face. So email us your prayer request. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. And I would like to close the broadcast with this hymn entitled "Soldiers of Christ Arise." God bless you.
Strength on.